the way from Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to ParentCast. It's a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 25. I think it's 25.
25 it is,
Holy
kid.
Holy smokes, that's such an amazing number. It's, what is it?
It's like a quarter of a century.
Yeah, a quarter of a hundred, literally. Welcome to episode 25.
Wow, welcome to the math class.
Of ParentCast. I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And I can't wait for the Patriots playoff game tomorrow. I am so excited for this.
Glad to hear that.
I'm jacked.
Yeah.
I'm jacked.
Blake's mind is elsewhere.
No, but I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do this podcast, too.
Okay.
I think it's great. You know, this podcast is for parents. It's for people who are pregnant. It's for people who are thinking about getting pregnant. But today's episode, I think, is for those new moms.
Well, it's interesting that you say for people who are thinking about getting pregnant, people are pregnant, things like that. This is for anyone who even knows anyone who might be a new mom.
Correct.
You know, if there is a new mom in your life or about to be new mom, so it's you, it's your partner, it's your niece, whatever, we're going to shed some light on what being a new mom is really like.
Yeah, you're a new mom. And trust me, I know there's a lot of stuff going on. It's tough, it's hard, and it's a lot of pressure, but everything is going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything is going to be fine. You're going to listen to this podcast, and all of your stress and everything is just, it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like magic. You know, it's like, it was like magic.
Oh, my favorite. Yes.
Oh, Harry. So, you know, honestly, you know, you have your kid, right? And you go to the hospital and you have the kid and you're learning and you got the nurses and you come home and then you have the kid and everything is like, you know, it's just great. It's
everything is awesome. Everything is cool.
But then it's not.
What do you mean? When is that moment when it's not awesome? I know when that moment was for me.
When was that?
The moment that we got into the car while leaving the hospital. Actually, no, the moment that things weren't awesome was when I thought Reese was no longer breathing and just really, it was dark in the hospital and he was totally fine.
He was totally fine.
Yeah.
It was just that because
it was dark and
the lighting
exhausted.
Looked like he was purple and we hadn't slept in about 48 hours.
But no, I think the everything is awesome moment ended once we got into the car. And we realized that the nursing staff wasn't coming with us.
Correct. And we realized, well, we didn't realize, but at the time we put the kid in the wrong way.
Yeah.
For the car seat, you know, and hey, what can you do? But this is at that point when you realize that everything is not awesome. Everything actually kind of sucks. The kid's crying and you have this little human that's in your charge. And what the hell do I do now? How do I deal with all this stress and all these issues? How do I get through all of it?
Yeah.
And I think that is the motivation and what this episode derives itself out of, because it's scary, man. And like we said, you know, again, this is for people that either had kids, don't have kids, or have friends that have kids. It's applicable to really anybody, but especially you new moms who found us and are so madly in love with us because you're listening. At least I wish.
We hope.
All right. So, kid, what do you say we get this business running and get into the judgment-free zone? All right. Let's do it.
Today's judgment-free zone is being presented to you by me.
I was like, oh, we have a sponsor? Really?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, I'm presenting myself.
Oh, okay.
We could have a sponsor.
Hey now.
Hey. Actually, yes, it could be sponsored. I'm actually selling mascara now, guys. I'm one of those mascara girls selling the 3D mascara, and it's awesome. It's amazingly awesome. So.
Everything is awesome.
I sell Unique because I think the mascara is amazing. So, you know, I'm not really making an official thing right now, but if you want to support the show, you could support me and buy mascara. Yay! Anyway, so my judgment-free zone story goes a little something like this.
All right, let's do it.
I'm exhausted. and I'm pregnant. I am now well halfway through, and I don't know. I've been feeling really crummy recently. I've been feeling exhausted. I've been feeling dizzy. I really hope nothing's wrong with me. I think I'm just pregnant. Like, I think that's what it is. I've been asking my doctor. I'm like, is anything else supposed to be happening? I'm just really tired. And I think I'm going to go see her for an appointment, and she's going to say, you're pregnant and you have a 21-month-old. That's what's wrong with you. So, my Jesuit Free Zone story is that Reese and I came home today. We had a long day out. Kid did not nap. Mm-hmm. Not once. He usually takes two naps. Mm-hmm. He did not nap at all. And I tried. I drove around the car for 3 hours. Well, like 1.5. And then I stopped and we did some stuff. And then 1.5. Trying to get him to sleep. Because Blake says that he falls asleep 5 minutes into a car ride.
Generally, yeah. I'd say so.
Doesn't do that for me. Doesn't do that for me.
It's because he loves mama so much. That's the thing.
He just wants to stay up because he's so pumped. So, yeah, that doesn't work very well for me. So we came home and I tried to get him to lay down in his bed, freaked out. And I just said, you know what? That's it. We're going to have a day the way mama wants to have a day. And you know what mama wants to do?
What was that?
Mama wants to sit on the couch and just watch TV until the sun goes away and until daddy comes home. And so we watched Thomas the Train. We watched Mickey. We watched Little Einsteins.
All right. Actually, can I interject real quickly here?
Yeah.
Thomas the Train. I don't get it.
I just don't like that it's only 10 minutes long. That is maybe enough to go to the bathroom.
No, but it's not even that. It's like the kids that are singing in an English accent. But mm-hmm. the problem is the rest of the show, it's all American accents. It doesn't make sense.
I don't. Maybe
is it an American show or is it a British show?
Maybe
which
the
one?
Trains were built in America. I don't know. But nonetheless, like, our child at this age should not be watching TV, period. Mm-hmm. He should not be watching that much TV. But I just couldn't. I really couldn't. And that is my judgment free. Judge me or don't judge me. I'm 5 months pregnant. I feel dizzy. I just want water. And Thomas doesn't go on long enough. So he had to watch a lot of stuff.
Over and over and over again.
And the Christmas episodes are still up. It's a month past Christmas. But I still like Christmas. But Thomas,
we still have our Christmas tree up, by the
Thomas's
way.
Thomas's Christmas episode is still
and
up.
And today is the 16th of January, 2015, and we still have our Christmas tree up.
Don't judge.
And as a matter of fact, yeah, continuing the judgment-free zone, our Christmas lights still go on at night. Our neighbors must hate us.
We live in a very populated not Christmas celebrating area.
Yeah.
So you can spot us for miles and they go on every day at 4:30.
Oh, man.
It's amazing.
I know. All right, let's get into the show. What do you say?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so this episode is kind of a spinoff on a post that we found by Christine Burke. And she wrote it, and we saw it actually in the Huffington Post parents blog. But 10 things they won't tell you about being a new parent. Mm. And the first thing is there is not a single mother on this planet that knows what she's doing.
Now, do you agree with this?
I'd say that there's not a single new mother on this planet who knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I think if you're a seasoned mother, you have a clue, at least. I mean, each child is different. Each birth is different. Who knows? Like, your life is different with each one. But I would agree that as a new mother, that's what the show will be about. Like,
yes.
Those first-time moms. Nope. You can read a bajillion books. I was that girl. I had every single book. I have a library. I had all the apps. I talked to people. Everything that I thought I knew, I didn't. And once the child was out, I was just, I didn't know what I was doing. I tried. It's all about trial and error. So I totally agree with this statement.
I mean, I think it's a good idea to read, and it's a good idea to get yourself involved with communities and groups and learn what you can learn. Because it is an overwhelming situation with this new child, again, that's under your charge. What do you do? And that's the thing. Nobody really knows. I mean, you know eventually. You figure it out. But don't feel like, oh, my God, I must know everything. Don't feel like, holy crap, if I don't know what pair of pants he's supposed to wear or what medicine to give him or whatever. Trust me, you are not alone. There's not one mother on this planet when they have their first kid that actually knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I fully agree with that.
Number two, you will sleep again, but it will never be the same. Okay, so the never part is the part I have a problem with because I dream already about retirement and Blake and I going to Bali where there are $6 massages and you lie in this tub, which is like 8 feet long and it's filled with milk and flower petals. I will sleep incredibly well when I'm retired and I'm traveling to Bali.
Yep.
I know it. But I'd say for the next 18 years of my life, my sleep will not be the same, especially these next, what, four years?
I'd say
three,
at least 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah. By the rate our kids go, it might be 6 years. But yeah, you don't sleep the same again. And what stinks is that you might get the same amount of hours here or there. Maybe you nap. You know, you might spend the same amount of time in bed. You have a lot of those morning cuddles with your kid. I remember when Reese was a newborn, he would do this wonderful nap early in the morning. Remember that nap?
Oh, I do remember that nap.
I loved that nap. But the problem was I just had a somewhat decent night's sleep, meaning 3 hours if I was lucky.
Oh.
And I couldn't nap because the sun was up and it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And
birds
I wanted to go get my coffee. And that was like his really long nap of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to lay in bed. I watched a lot of the Today Show and Good Morning America. But the sleep was never the same again. And, even when I was sleeping, I was so in tune with the baby. Mm-hmm. You and I joke about this now. Reese is 21 months old. Like, we still wake up. When he's sleeping, we wake up thinking he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or why isn't he crying? And that was like the big, big thing when he was a newborn. We would just hover over him and he was either making these sounds like...
And like you had no idea what the hell those sounds were.
Yeah, you like record it and you text your other mom friends being like, does your kid sound like this when he sleeps? Half of them would say no, liars. Half of them would say, no, but my friends do. And then the other half, well, that's not real.
No, they're lying too.
But yeah, some kids do and some kids don't. So yeah, your sleep will never be the same for the next 4 years.
And I think that's very true. Unless you're one of those people that has a kid that just sleeps like 6 hours straight up. Mm-hmm. Like right away. And if you're one of those people, I hate you with a visceral passion. No, I'm kidding. But
that's not nice.
No, but really.
You're just jealous.
I am extremely jealous because at the rate, like you said, at the rate our kid's going, we're going to have to still put him back to bed when he's in college.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's okay, buddy. You can go back to sleep. You know, if it doesn't happen 3 or 4 times a night, it doesn't happen anytime. And mm-hmm. Our kid's 21 months old. So if your kid isn't sleeping and you're like 2 or 3 months into it, trust me, that is normal too, and it's going to be okay. Eventually, he will or she will fall asleep, and it will be like remarkable. Remember that time, the first time that he fell asleep, and he slept for like 6 hours straight?
I don't remember that time. Please enlighten me, because I don't remember that time.
Oh, come on. We were in the old apartment, and we looked at each other like, did you wake up? No. Did you wake up? No. And we were like, oh! He slept for 6 hours straight. And then it never happened again for like 6 months.
Yeah. Actually, now I do remember.
See what I'm talking about?
Yep.
That was a remarkable time. But again, he still doesn't like to sleep. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Number three, sick leave does not come with the job.
No, it does not. No, you cannot just take a break when you're sick.
As a new mom.
The only thing you can really do is ask your spouse to just take the kid for like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and just get him out of your face.
It is, especially in those new times, it's really, really tough. And so if this is you and you have a new baby and God forbid you are getting sick, you have that nasty cold or you have something, gosh, even if it's a migraine, I remember I've had probably 2 or 3 migraines since we've had Reese. I've actually called my mom who mm-hmm. lives a half hour away. I've called her and I said, I really need your help. I can't stand up. I can't be around light. And I sure as heck can't listen to a baby cry right now because I just can't. So God forbid if you are not with a village, okay, if there's nobody around you, here's what I want you to do. If you have a headache, I want you to get earplugs and look at the monitor, all right? If it's that bad where you can't handle it, set yourself like every 5-minute alarms if you think you're actually going to fall asleep, so you keep checking up on that kid. But it'll make sure you can hear your kid still a little bit, but it'll at least take down the sharpness level if you have a child with pipes like we do. So that will help. But if you're otherwise sick, with a cold, any of that kind of stuff, try to get anyone. If you have a partner, if you have a friend, if you have a mom, especially because they're new babies, people love to come over and help with new babies.
Oh, definitely.
So just say, listen, I feel like a jamoke. I'm sick. I actually don't want you to really be that much around me, but I just need you to come over and like sit with my kid. It eats and poops, and you know, if you're breastfeeding, you can feed it, but just give yourself a break, because if you don't get the sleep, you're not going to get better for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So really, really call someone. Even if, you know, you just made a friend recently, be in the same room, but take a nap on the couch and let them watch Netflix while looking at your kid and rock and play, you know, just to have another human there. So if you do doze off, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. And also, I know you probably feel like, I'm this kid's mother. I'm supposed to be caring for it. I'm supposed to be taking care of it, but I'm sick. What am I supposed to do? If you, you know, do have your spouse there, you kind of have to lean on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let them listen to this portion of this podcast, because they got to step it up. You know, whoever you've decided to live your life with, that's on you. Who cares? But they have to realize it's my kid and my wife, from, you know, my girlfriend or fiance, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's in some pain here, and I got to take care of it. At least for a couple minutes, right? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just... Yep. Get them out of your face for a little bit. That's all.
Well, it's sometimes you can't get out of bed. You know, really need that help.
But the thing I want to get across is, as a spouse, as a father, you know, I recognize that it's my job to take care of my kid too, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to take care of my kid.
Mm-hmm.
As a mother, not me, obviously, I'm not a mother, but I want mothers to understand that the spouses should be taking care of it, and you should not feel like, oh, I don't want to bother him or her. I don't want to bother them. No, bother them. It's okay. You need to bother them. That's what they're there for, right? Mm-hmm. You need to do that.
Yeah. Number 4, make friends with moms who understand and do it as soon as your cherub gets here. Honestly, if you're pregnant, do it now. Find moms groups with pregnant women. If there are none in your area, I mean, first Google it and see what you can find and ask other moms that you know. But even if you're going for a walk and you see someone with a stroller, say hi to them, start to befriend them, because finding other new moms is going to be a sanity saver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have this Facebook group that I started back when I first had Reese, and I used to go to these moms groups, and I just started inviting all these new moms that I would meet, and it's been such a resource. We ask each other questions about, hey, what did you do when your kid had croup, and does this rash look like a normal rash to you, and is anyone else totally bored out of their brains, you know, this winter? Where can I bring my kid? And we do little get-togethers.
Mm-hmm.
So people will say, I'm going for a walk. Does anyone want to join me and go to the zoo? You know, you could put these things up there. Look on Facebook. There are tons of moms groups open on Facebook. But do it, because you are going to get so lonely and so bored in their house. And there are simple things that you can ask these other new moms that they might be one step ahead of you. For example, I didn't know how awesome the Wubbanub pacifier was until I met these other moms, and all their kids had a pacifier in their mouth with like a little stuffed animal attached to it. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, it's the best $12 pacifier you're ever going to buy, because you strap it in with the kid in their like little car seat. And that way when they spit it out, it doesn't go on the floor. It's just right there, and they can actually nudge it back in by moving their head and sticking their tongue out. It's amazing. So join those moms groups, find those moms, and if, God forbid, you find a mom you hate, go find another mom.
I was just going to say that you may interact with people, with moms, you know, actually from one of our from our last episode, one of the hipsters, one of the doctors, all those, you know, parents that you just can't stand.
Yes.
You may run into one of those. And even if you do run into them, they still might be a good resource for you to just throw crap up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll be able to help you get some different kind of information that you may not have had prior to that. So utilize those mothers. Get involved with those mothers groups as soon as you can.
And if you are honestly having a tough time finding these moms groups, shoot me a message. Email us at parentcastpodcast@gmail.com.
Actually, I think it's just parentcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, parentcast@gmail.com. Thank you.
I got you.
And I'll even try to help you because I know how important it is to get these moms groups. So, number five. So, sex will become at times a chore. Well, first off, you're not supposed to have sex for the first 6 weeks.
Correct.
At least.
And you may not look forward to it.
Well, you know, you go see your doctor at 6 weeks and he or she may or may not say you're good to go. And I remember when I went at 6 weeks, that was not what was on the forefront of my mind. It might have been the forefront on Blake's mind. And my doctor was like, guess what, Mary? Everything's healing very well. You're good to go. And Blake did like a little, yes. And I went, actually, doctor, I don't think I am because I pee myself every 5 minutes. And the last thing I want to do is cause any more commotion down there. So I ended up having to go for urinary incontinence physical therapy. That's a topic for another day. But I didn't feel comfortable doing the deed for a while. And then once we were ready, things were a little different feeling. And it was important to remind my partner and myself to have patience in said matter, because you don't want to dread it. You don't want it to become a chore for real. You really don't want to be like, oh, gosh, I really don't want to do this, but I guess I have to. You want to be honest with yourself,
mm-hmm.
honest with your spouse. If you have any concerns, bring them up. But just know that take that first step. And A for effort is what I say. Mind you, I'm the female in this equation, but I'm saying A for effort counts in my books, guys.
No, well, this is, again, it's for new moms. And if this were for new dads, I think my opinion would probably hold a little bit more weight. Again, as the spouse, yeah, at 6 weeks, am I ready to get it on? Of course. And yes, I that's what I want. But I also recognize that my wife went through some pretty serious trauma, you know, down there. And I have to be patient with that. I have to recognize that. So what I'm trying to get at is if your spouse is putting pressure on you, you really shouldn't allow that. You really shouldn't be scared by that.
You know what? If they're putting pressure on you, just show them videos of labor and be like, this is what happened. This is what happened to me. So, thanks.
No, I refused. I refused to look down there while it was
patient.
Happening.
Had you not been patient,
yeah,
that's what I would have done. That's what I would have done. Or I would have made you talk to my urine physical therapist to know what else was going on to me.
I mean, it's great because, you know, the sex is there once it's back. And it's a phenomenal thing because now I'm back with my wife, you know, and I'm feeling physical again. I'm feeling loved again. I'm feeling everything that I want to feel because that's my wife, and I miss those things. But the spouse has to be patient. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to accept the fact that stuff went on down there, and you know, it may take more than 6 weeks. And for you, in a mental place, you just may not be ready. And if you're not ready, that's okay too. You have to find your comfort level.
And you know, if you're listening to this and you don't know how to say that to your partner, just say, hey, you know what? There's this great episode about being a new mom and being a new parent. I'd love for you to listen to it. And if you're the partner listening right now, this is their way of saying, I'm not ready right now. can we just make out like we were 15 instead?
Yeah.
You know?
And if you listen to me, bro, just keep it zipped for a little bit longer. I promise it's going to go back to normal. It's going to go back to normal. It's just going to take a little time.
Number six is, when you bring your cherub home from the hospital, be prepared. You may not like him or her at first.
Oh, God. This one is so freaking true.
For you, it took, what, a year?
Oh, I remember I actually, when I had that moment of realization, I was with Mary. We were in our old apartment. And I finally looked at her. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was watching TV with Reese, or I was doing something with him. And I looked down at him. I started smiling for no reason other than just, hey, that's my kid. Look at that. He's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I looked over to Mary and I said, I finally like our kid. I finally get what he's doing. I finally understand him a little bit. And I finally enjoy spending time with him. And I hadn't done that at all since the moment of his birth. Well, I think I enjoyed his time when he was first born, when he was like sleeping on my chest, and I really liked that.
Yeah.
But when he started to, you know, get like a month old, 2 months old, I couldn't stand him. I literally hated everything about him.
Oh, God.
It's true, because I hated the fact that he was separating you and I.
Mm.
I hated the fact that he cried incessantly. You know, and you know, for those of you who are avid listeners of our podcast, you know that Reese had really serious colic. And that, it's just demoralizing. I couldn't go out with my buddies. I couldn't play Madden. I couldn't watch a movie. It took me 4 days to watch The Dark Knight Rises. Are you kidding me? 4 days? All because of this little pain in the butt. So I hated my kid. I don't know. What did you feel about Reese?
Okay, so I loved Reese right away, as only a mother can.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like Reese until he started smiling. And then what stinks is he started smiling, and then like a week later he started screaming because he had got colic. But I already had started to like him, so he was really lucky that the smile came before the colic. you know, it was so fantastic, but I was learning about this baby, and I really enjoyed the moments he was sleeping.
When you didn't have to worry about anything?
Yeah, because you're looking at the baby and you're like, wow, I made you and you're amazing and you're here and you're a person and you're going to grow up and I'm going to see you and I love you. But when the baby's awake, you're worried a lot. You're worried about, is this baby eating enough?
Mm-hmm.
Is he crying because I ate broccoli? Is he crying because I'm not supplying enough? Am I drinking enough water? Does he not like the formula? Is he allergic? Does he have an allergy to something?
Does he not like the bottle that I'm using?
Is the fabric itchy? What color is that poop? What consistency? How many poops has he had today? It's just this constant kind of like questioning thing that, because it's your first time, and if you don't have someone right next to you who just has gone through it recently, who's saying, girl, it's going to be all right, it can be overwhelming. And it's hard to quiet those fears or those concerns or just those constant, is this right, questions.
Yeah, because again, going back to the first thing, you have no idea.
Yeah.
It's all a trial and error process.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're looking at your kid, who you are ultimately responsible for, and you're like, you are causing so much stress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this. And if you find yourself not liking your kid, and I've said this after everything we've done so far, but if you find yourself not liking your kid, it's okay. Trust me. I hated my kid. Didn't want to be around him. I remember I would sit in my car when I came home from work, and I would hear him crying. Crying is
okay. That's loud.
Oh my God! I could hear him down the neighborhood, and I remember sitting in my car in the driveway, hearing him cry, and Mary just, it's okay, bouncing up and down. And I remember thinking, dude, all I gotta do is put this car in drive and just go. I don't care where I'm going. I got a credit card, I got clothes, and I got a full tank of gas, and I'm out of here. And it happened so many times. You know, of course, I went back and because I love my wife and I love my son, ultimately. But I didn't enjoy my son. Mm-hmm. And it didn't ruin, but it really put a stress on my relationship with my wife. And it really put a stress on how I related to the world. I went to work. I remember not hearing anything other than just white noise left and right because I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't getting proper nutrition. I couldn't exercise. I was eating a bunch of junk food that I was very appreciative for because people brought over and they had the ability to give me the chocolate cake and the spaghetti and the lasagnas. And I was eating, which was great, but it was all junk because it's easy to make. Mm-hmm. And it's not their fault that it's easy to make. They're bringing it over trying to be nice. You should accept that.
It was delicious. I don't complain.
But the problem is, you start feeling like junk on top of all this. You're not getting any sleep. And it's all because of that little freaking pain in the butt. And that is why you may not like your kid. And that's okay.
All right. So this one, number 7, I just had a little question about. It said that it's going to be okay. You're a new mom and you may become a liar.
That's correct.
So you're going to lie maybe about Santa, the Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, Elf on the Shelf, all these different kind of things. But I was looking at this and I said, well, how is this like a new mom? Like when I think new mom, I'm thinking baby, and baby doesn't deal with any of this kind of stuff. I'll tell you how I became a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I became a liar because I decided to be antisocial a lot more frequently than I should have been. But I was just so tired. I was so tired. And then whenever I would go out and be social, my boobs would leak. Like, without a doubt, I would feed Reese, I would pump, I would go out. I had an overproduction problem, and I'd be out for an hour, and my friend would be like, oh, you're leaking all over yourself.
I remember the leakage you could put into a bottle.
Yeah, I would collect like 3 ounces
leaking. And you'd be able to feed Reese just off of the leakage.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Very embarrassing because I had to walk around with cups attached to my boobs. Okay, so I didn't want to go out. I didn't. Like,
cup boobs.
Yeah, it's really no question why I didn't feel sexy or why I was down for a lot of this time. I was walking around literally with Milky Savers they're called. You can find them on Amazon. But they're like cups that catch your milk. So people would ask me like, hey, Mary, we'd love for you to come out for a mommy's night out or come do this. And I would lie and say, oh, you know, Reese is acting up. Reese has had a really bad day. And I'd lie. And I'd blame it on Reese. Really, it was my boobs, or I was tired,
I was cranky, and I didn't want her to leave.
I was scared.
I didn't want Mary to leave because I was like, what the heck am I going to do with this kid? Yeah. What do I know?
But really, I couldn't. And that lasagna just looked so darn good. So
that chocolate cake just, oh my word.
Amazing. So I became a liar.
And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Nope, it's okay.
It's totally fine.
I'm going to use my kid as an excuse for the rest of my life. Number 8, every single product in the market can hurt your child if you believe the hype. Oh my gosh. You know, I get this. I really, really get this. I have some friends who have detoxed beyond belief and eaten amazingly healthy things and have stopped using plastics and the BPA, GMO, free range, organic, everything. Like, I watch the egg come out of the chicken and then I eat it right there, raw, like raw milk. And oh my God. Okay, so if you read all of it, you're going to go a little crazy. If you were already into this kind of stuff, you have a heads up. But once you're a new mom and you're scrolling on Facebook, because that's what we do. We scroll on Facebook. We're on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Scroll, scroll, scroll. You
or
know
you
it.
Google it.
Yeah. Well, no, you're scrolling and then an article comes up or a mom posts something and then you Google it.
That's
but
true.
The flexibility in that thumb, your right thumb or that finger, hot damn. So you research it, you become a little crazed about it, or you might ask some other people, and it gets pretty scary. So
I remember you came home. We cannot use the sound machine anymore. It has to be at a certain level. Otherwise, our kid's going to go deaf.
Yep.
And I was like, really? Our kid's not going to go deaf.
Oh my God, it was a whole discussion in my mom's Facebook group. Like, how loud is your white noise machine? And do you turn it down at a certain age? And then I Googled it. Don't do that. Don't. I'm telling you, okay?
Or the time that you said, we can't use Tupperware anymore. It all has to be glass.
Yeah, the problem was that, like, those things are heavy.
They're heavy. They're a pain in the butt. You got to wash them.
And you don't really want to, like, give them away to other people.
I know.
Oh, man.
And trust me, a kid is eating food in Tupperware. He's perfectly fine.
For now.
He's perfectly He's not going to grow a third eye.
Maybe that's why he doesn't sleep.
No, it's not. No.
Who knows? It could be like some kind of weird BPA.
Now you are freaking these people out again.
Okay.
You're freaking them out. No, it's not because of the BPAs. I promise. It's not because of the BPAs. It's just that our kid's a terrible sleeper. What do you want?
So just take everything with a grain of salt. And if you're finding that the Facebook articles are freaking you out, hide them from your newsfeed.
Get off of Facebook.
Yeah.
Really. Use Facebook for your benefit, for, moms groups and everything. But when you start reading those clickbait kind of articles and, oh my God, the 10 things your kid will do if, dot, dot, dot. No, don't.
If he watches TV like Thomas the Tank Engine before, too,
his brain is going to explode and everything's going to die and everything sucks.
It scared me so much. Like, no. When I go through these phases where I'm probably going to do it tonight. I'm probably going to wake up tonight and be like, Blake, Reese is going to be a very delinquent, non-speaking, obese child because today I let him watch 2.5 hours of TV. It's all my fault. If he's obese in the future, I'm going to say it's because of this day. It's because of this day when I was 21 weeks pregnant, when I gave up and I said, you can watch whatever you want.
It's not like you listen to him, letting him watch, Jurassic Park or whatever.
No, that's what you do.
That's my job. I'm the dad.
Yeah, and then he had night terrors. Good job. Good job.
Yeah, calm down. It's all right.
Number 9, all forms of Lycra, push-up, and Spanx become a necessary part of your wardrobe.
Okay. I can't really, relate to this.
You see me put it on.
That's true.
Okay. Wear a bra, okay? Because the boobs, they're just going to want to go down. You know that song, Do Your Ears Hang Low? Do They Wobble To and Fro? That's going to be about your boobs. Undergarments, after childbirth. They need to be sturdy, supportive, strong, all right? Anything lacy, not going to be really holding anything up unless it's really strong lace, okay? Sexy.
Sexy's out for a little bit.
Just get, the supportive panties in black. That is your sexy look, all right? Seriously, guys. You just need to be careful with your body because if you try to put on that stuff, you're not going to be happy. So go out and buy yourself, as soon as you have a new kid and things get adjusted and you go out, go buy yourself some new bras. Go buy yourself some new panties. Go buy a couple of expensive ones to make yourself feel good. They're not going to be the same. You know, when I go to Victoria's Secret, even now, right now, I even said it to Blake. I said, Blake, okay, here I am with my second pregnancy. I've been wearing the same panties that I wore, when I was pregnant with Reese, but I think my bum's getting bigger this time because I suddenly have plumber's crack.
Your butt grew.
See, my bum totally grew or something happened. This didn't happen my last pregnancy, but I now cannot wear these panties. They are not sexy. It is not okay. I now need to go and get maternity panties and more full coverage. I don't really know. So just know that Spanx and supportive things are good for you. And if you want to be sexy, you just need to get them in black. And that counts.
I'm just going to leave those words right up to you. No problem.
All right. Number 10. You'll be good at the job of mothering the minute you meet your cherub. And you won't screw them up too terribly. Not.
You don't think so?
I wasn't good at the job.
Oh, I thought you were really good at the job. Honest to God.
I thought my kid died the minute I had him.
Oh, no, that's because you had just given birth to him 5 minutes prior. Honest, come on now.
What I thought happened, guys, I thought he suffocated because my boob was so big. I thought he suffocated and it was purple. They said, push him on. So I pushed him on and I thought he was purple and dead. He was fine. But I didn't think I did a good job. I sure didn't. But the truth is, Cro-Magnon people did this.
Yeah, you should be able to do it too.
Snooki did it twice. That's what's gotten me through it.
Snooki.
Snooki has had babies.
How has Snooki really gone through all this?
Well, you know what?
That girl is the most ignorant woman I've ever seen in my life.
That's what you just tell yourself.
Snooki can do it.
what is that? 16 and pregnant and Snooki. If these people can do it, so can you.
That's right.
And you're going to do a better job. And when you feel bad about yourself, when you're sitting there eating lasagna, saying, I don't think I really liked my kid today except for those 10 minutes when he slept. It's okay.
Snooki didn't like her kid either.
Nope.
I don't think Snooki likes her kid at all.
I don't know. I stopped watching that show, but... Nope. Just you know what? You're a liar already. So just lie to yourself and make up Snooki stories and it'll make you feel a lot better. Be like, yeah, my kid only slept 10 minutes, but Snooki's Hers only sleeps 4.
Guaranteed only 4.
Yep. That's it. And she leaks so much, she can fill up a gallon jug. All right? Just lie, guys. Make yourselves feel better. What was that show that we watched to make ourselves feel better when we were engaged? Marriage Boot Camp or something?
No, it was Tool Academy.
Tool Academy. Find a really crummy show or watch something like The Housewives where these people have like crazy stupid problems, right? Just watch that and be like, I'm okay.
You know what? My life doesn't suck all that bad.
I pee myself all the time, but I'm okay. I'm really okay. Like, I got my act together. I'm all right.
Well, every once in a while, you still let go.
Pee?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'm saying I'm okay. Like,
oh, okay.
Not that my issue is resolved. Now I'm pregnant. Guys, watch out. Next time you get pregnant, don't get a cold.
The other day.
Sneezing is not a good thing.
The other day, she's looking at me and she sneezed and she goes, Blake, take the baby. I just pissed myself.
I had to go take a shower.
Just dribbling down her leg. And I was like, keeping it classy. That's my girl. Yeah. All right. And yeah. You know what? That happens, man. You may still pee yourself. And that's okay. But ultimately, you are the mother. And you're going to be okay. And what you want, that goes. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to want to take care of your kid and do the things that you want to do. You're going to be fine. You're going to be totally fine.
We promise.
There's no way around it.
All right. So we have a number 11. Which Blake made up. 11 and 12. Oh, this is like Blake's number, not Huffington Post.
I'll go through these with you. Number 11. Get out of the house and enjoy time with your friends.
Unless you're lying and blaming it on your kid.
Yeah, no, I agree. But if you want to go out, make sure you find time to get out and be with your friends. If you do feel that calling and you do feel like, man, I just got to like hang out with my girls from college, or I just got to go get a drink, or I need to go to Starbucks without my kid. Go do that. It's okay. You're supposed to want to do the things that make you human. Mm-hmm. Again, and we've made this a point throughout all of this. You are still you. No matter what, yes, you're mom, and as soon as you become a mom, it's great and everything, but you are you nonetheless. And if you start to not do the things that don't allow you to be you, then you've lost any semblance of being human. You've just become...
God, way to make it, like, very dire.
Well, it's the truth. I mean...
I think that's a little extreme. Any semblance of being human?
Yeah, because then you just become mom. And that sucks.
Good. No. Stop it.
No.
Stop
you don't,
it.
No. Again, you have to retain a part of you. You cannot just be solely mom. You know, when I think of mom, I think of the mom that wears the mom jeans and she's driving
she's
the minivan.
She's wearing that because they're supportive. Because her muffin top and her sexy pants don't fit.
You're missing the point here. She's lost her identity. She's lost herself.
Okay.
So you need to go out with your friends and make sure that you can do these things. This is your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you agree?
Well, I think you're being just a little too harsh because some people aren't ready and you need to realize
that... if you are ready and you feel like you want to go out, do it. Don't make excuses for yourself.
Well, and just invite them over. If you don't feel like going out...
That's true.
That's what I did. You know, I couldn't go out. I really couldn't go out that much. I was peeing myself and my boobs were leaking and I just didn't feel right going out. I didn't. All my kids' stuff was home. So if you're feeling like that, have people over. Invite them over. Have tea. You know, it's just a lot easier that way. I think you're being a little too harsh.
But I'm saying if you feel the need to go out. Right?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. You have your spouse there. You have your mom. You have anybody there that can help you with that child. Go out. Don't be so attached to the kid where you're like, oh, if I leave this kid, he's going to die. No, he's not.
Correct.
I promise you he's not going to die.
Yes.
So just allow yourself that feeling. Allow yourself to feel like that. Okay. That's the idea behind this.
Okay.
Number 12, talk to your spouse. Just talk to them. Talk to them about anything. If it's about the kid, if it's about how you're feeling, if it's about how you pissed yourself, if it's about I'm not ready for sex, you have to be able to talk to your spouse. Mm-hmm. And don't feel like you can't tell them anything. Because the more that you hide, the more that it's going to build up inside of you.
Yeah.
If you can't find the ability to talk to them, if you can't muster up the courage, you have to find a way to let them know that there is stuff going on in you, and you need to be able to find a way to find the courage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it. If you're not talking, if you're not speaking, if you're not consistently on the same plane, you're going to have some issues. And trust me, your spouse wants that.
Mm-hmm.
Your spouse wants to hear those things because ultimately it's their job to help take care of you. You know, you've gone through trauma. You've gone through something that either you had a C-section or you gave a vaginal birth or whatever. Either way, your body has done some pretty remarkable things.
I like that you just use the word remarkable.
Well, it's true.
It is true.
It's totally true. Your body has done something that is freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to heal. And not even physically, but emotionally. All the hormones that are just racing through your body and you're just going crazy, you know, like there's a lot.
There is.
And your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your wife, whatever you're into, they got to know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be able to talk to them.
Good. That, okay. Good point.
I think that's important. And being a new mom, it's vital. And if it's okay to speak to them, it's okay to tell them all the embarrassing crap. That's their job. That's their job is to listen to you. Number 13, don't leave your house.
What?
And I know I just said go out if you feel the need to go out.
This is why you confuse me. Maybe I don't want to talk to my spouse as a new mom. I'm confused.
No, what I mean is don't allow people like your family or your friends or whatever to tell you, you need to present that kid to me.
Oh.
I need to be shown that kid. Bring him over. Do not... No. People visit you. And they visit you on a time that you deem okay. There's a schedule. If, for whatever reason, you find that your family is just like totally overzealous and they want to help you and they're coming over and it's just... If you find yourself entertaining your family,
mm-hmm.
Cut that right out. That is the end in my book. You are not in the job of entertaining people. And if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed, put a stop to it right now.
Done.
Because there is no way you at all should feel like, oh my God, I'm having X person over and Aunt Jane and Petunia's coming over and my dad and then mom and then my sister and then my brother and... And all they're all coming over and they want to talk to me and da da da. If you're tired, go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to see your family, tell your spouse. Put up a sign on the door saying closed for the day. Or if your family still insists on coming in, tell your spouse to be like, hey, go tell them that I can't deal with it right now. And either the spouse can deal with them or they can say, hey, look, just feeling tired. Just got to go home.
Yep.
You guys got to go home. What do you want me to do? You got to stick up for yourself. You have to. And then on the flip side, there are, all right, I'll be honest. We ran into this problem with my family where they expected Mary to bring our son around.
The week after he was born.
The week after he was born. You know what I mean? They just wanted to see him. And we were telling everybody, hey, look, if you want to see our kid, come over. And everybody else on this planet was like, yeah, I'll come over. I'll bring something over. I'll help you do the dishes or whatever. What time would you like me to come over? Everybody except my family, they all expected to be presented or they all expected Reese to be presented to them. And they didn't feel the need to come over. And hey, that's cool. I mean, like, you know, was I hurt? A little,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately I realized that's on them. if you didn't want to take the time to visit myself or my wife, who just gave birth, a very traumatic birth, by the way, and I have this brand new kid, I don't know what the hell is going on. You think I actually want to get in the car and drive and expose him to all this crap that I don't know about so that you can see my kid? Well, how about you actually come to my house where I have everything under control, everything is cleaned, everything is sanitized. Mm-hmm. It's a controlled environment. Why do you think it's a good idea for me to leave my controlled environment just because that's what you want?
Yeah.
And that, to me, if you're going through that, do not feel pressured by anybody. If you find yourself being pressured by your friends or your family to go out and introduce your kid to them, they don't get it.
Done.
They don't get it. And it's not even worth having that conversation. I mean, if you feel like you have to, then do it. But it's no. And oh my God, that was the one thing that really got me during the whole process. Mm-hmm. I couldn't with all those people.
So just know it's like, it's your rules.
Yeah.
It's your rules, and you get to stick by them. And if you feel bad about it, know that we're saying it's okay. And because you know what's best for your family, and you know what's best for you. And yeah. That's what matters most.
And I remember thinking, this is my kid. I can do what I want. If I want to have my kid watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, guess what? He's watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. If I wanted to dress my kid in a tutu, guess what? He's wearing a freaking tutu because that's what I want. And nobody can tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
Except for my beautiful wife.
Oh, thanks.
And she usually does tell me otherwise, especially when I put my kid in 6-month jeans.
Hey, that'll do it.
That generally happens. So that, guys, is the list of things that you may or may not be worrying about. And trust me, I'm sure there's plenty more. And if you have more questions about them, contact us. And
yes.
we'll give you our opinion on it. We're here for you. And we say this every podcast. We are here for you. We do this for you guys. I mean, we do it for us because it's fun and it's a date night and we don't ever get out anymore because of our kid. And we just decided to invest in all this crap and have fun with it. But it's okay. And trust me, we can at least be there to talk with you and just have fun with it, you know?
And you're going to be okay. And it's going to be remarkable, and you're going to have good days, and you're going to have bad days, and there's going to be days that you sob about nothing, or you sob about something.
Like the time when there was no grits? Oh, was that when you were pregnant?
That was when I was pregnant.
Oh.
After I had Reese, I sobbed because the Oreos were all gone.
Oh, that's what it was. It was the Oreos.
Yeah.
There's no more Oreos!
And I was like sobbing / laughing at myself because I couldn't believe that I was actually sobbing about not having any more Oreos.
I was like, honey, do you realize what you're crying about? You're crying about Oreos. First
what
of all,
that?
That's crazy. Like,
yes.
you don't need to cry about Oreos. Second of all, if you just want me to get Oreos, I will walk down to the supermarket. That's a 5-minute walk,
mm-hmm.
and I'll get you Oreos. What do you want me to do? You know, and she's like, it's fine. I'll take the Oreos. You know, like,
yep.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Your body and everything about you is oh my God, it's run a marathon. It's gone crazy.
Yep.
And if you feel crazy, that's okay. You're probably supposed to feel crazy. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing whatsoever.
You're a
so
brand
just
new
know
ma.
That it's going to be okay.
Is there anything else you want to relay to these guys before we get into the rest of our show?
You know, it's just that your body's going to be going through a lot and you're not going to be getting a lot of sleep. My biggest suggestion to you is to take as many photos as you can. Like, mm-hmm. tell yourself to take a photo every single day. And if you're looking for inspiration, just even Google like photo a day challenge. And there are all these different things up there where it'll be like day 3, take a picture of something yellow or whatever. Even if it's just to give you different ideas. But I look back on those photos from those very sleep deprived days. I don't have photos of me crying about Oreos. I have photos of Reese sleeping ever so sweetly on Blake's chest. And I have photos of someone capturing Reese's first smile, which was really a fart. But it looks like a newborn smile and it was the sweetest thing. And, you know, just his hand in mine. And so really, really try to make sure that you're taking a picture every day, if not almost every day, because you are going to look back on those and be so happy that you did.
All right, what do you say we get in the wines of the week, kid?
All right.
All right, let's do it. All right, what do you got?
My wine is just that this pregnancy has really been tough. Mm-hmm. It's been really, really tough. And I was excited because now that I've been in my second trimester, the nausea has been really gone, but my acid reflux has kicked it up a notch. And when I was pregnant with Reese, I had to go on medication for my acid reflux, and I'm pretty sure that I have to again. So I'm a little bummed about that. I'm at a point where it's like fine, technically. But I also am at a point where I'm so like sleepy and stuff that I don't remember if I take it all the time. So even this morning, like I was sitting with Blake and Reese and having breakfast, and I went and I grabbed medicine and I looked at Blake and I said, I don't remember if I already took this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it again.
And she did.
I hope I didn't take it.
And then she's like, wait, did I take it already? Is this the third time that I've taken it?
No idea. So I think I need to go out and get one of those pill a day things.
Yeah, I know.
How about you?
My wine of the week is the fact that my kid refuses to eat food in a normal way.
What?
He just takes things and throws them everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Throws them. If he's done with it, it's on the floor.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't like it, on the floor.
Yeah.
I'm a neat person. I like things tidy. I like things put away. Mm-hmm. I like floors clean. You're like, kid, you're screwing with my floor. Don't touch the floor. You're lucky that I even let you walk on it. All right. All right. So stop throwing food on there. And I gotta scrape the crap off and I gotta wash it again. And like, just stop throwing food on the floor. That's my deal.
That's a good wine.
Is that a good wine?
Yeah, it's a great wine.
All right.
Wine.
Let's get into the wins.
My win is a very sweet, silly little thing that just makes my heart melt.
What's that?
So Reese doesn't really speak yet. He babbles and he's getting close. Like I think any day now he's going to start speaking. But my win right now is how he says peanut butter.
That was going to be my win. Damn it.
Really?
Yeah, it was. But keep going.
Okay,
keep
so
going.
You say it. Ready?
No. Just go ahead.
Baby bubba.
Baby bubba.
It's just all B's. And it like
Be-ba-ba-ba.
Goes down a scale a little bit, and it just makes my heart melt.
I know.
So peanut butter, you done it for me this week.
Well, all right. My win of the week is our kid is sleeping again. It's freaking awesome.
I know.
It, like he was ill and he wasn't feeling good, but now like for the past 3 days, he slept until, geez, 5:30 in the morning.
Which is huge for us.
And like we're putting him to bed at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 6:30 to 7 o'clock. And he's sleeping all the way till 5:30. And like I actually get to have adult time with my wife. Not that we're getting jiggy with it or whatever, but like just the fact that I get to hold you and I get to cuddle and I don't have this little being in between us. And,
you do. It's now called the pregnancy pillow
between
us.
Oh my God, that should have been my wine. That freaking thing. That's going to be my next week's wine.
Okay.
I get to have adult time with my wife. You know, I get to enjoy my bed.
You don't get kicked in the middle of the night, which is nice.
That kid, I know this is the win of the week, but that kid, when he was sick and he was like in the middle and he was sleeping in between us, he had his foot near my face and I didn't know about it. And he kicked my nose with every mite of his being. And I thought he broke it. I really thought he broke my nose. Luckily, he didn't. Because I still have a pretty face now. Thank God.
Yes, you do.
But yeah. Ultimately, my kid is now sleeping through the night, and I'm sure it's going to end anytime soon now. But the fact that he still got it, oh man,
game changer,
a total game changer. All right, next to me. Kid, what do you got for your parent pick of the week?
My parent pick of the week right now is the Carter's After Christmas sale, because now that we're having another baby, I'm buying cool Christmas outfits for my baby at a fraction of the cost and just shopping, and I love it. I love it. I just love shopping knowing I'm saving such a huge percentage off, especially when it's Christmas-related stuff. It just makes me happy. So that is my parent pick of the week, is that, you know, aim for next year. And if you're going to have another kid, or say your friend is pregnant, say your friend is a new mom, mm-hmm. okay? Say your friend just had a baby now, all right?
Mm-hmm.
they're going to need 12-month Christmas clothes. So go online and be like, hey, look at what I got your kid. I got, you know, give it to them next Thanksgiving or something. Like, oh, I'm so thoughtful. I spent $20 on it. Nope. You didn't.
You spent six.
Maybe three. By this point, it might be three. So just, you know, if you're a grandparent, anything like that, just if you can think ahead, do it.
My parent pick of the week is the Highlands homeopathic cough syrup for them at nighttime. The reason why our kid is sleeping, I guarantee you, is because of this crap. Because
Benadryl made him crazy.
You heard it last episode. Benadryl drove our kid insane.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what else to do. And our doctor's like, you can only give him Benadryl. No. We gave him this Highlands, like homeopathic, whatever it is, this cough syrup. And he just fell asleep.
Yep.
And it was like very soothing. And it was the nighttime version. And as soon as we gave it to him, the cough started to go away. You know, I don't know if this stuff works. I don't know what happened. I know that Benadryl sucks for my kid, but this stuff, when we started giving it to him, Highlands cough syrup, it was great.
It did it.
It did the job. And I was ready.
It has a lot of chamomile in it.
Yeah.
And it's all like natural stuff. But our doctor had started to recommend that we give Reese a lot of chamomile tea and honey.
Yep.
So once I saw the ingredients in this, I'm like, it's basically what the doctor's telling us to give our kid anyway.
Yep.
And it really has made a difference.
Dude, I was ready. I was ready to NyQuil my kid to sleep. I was ready to NyQuil him because I was just done. I had had enough. I didn't know what to do anymore. And then we got this stuff, and it worked out great.
It's magic.
I love it.
Absolute magic.
So get the Highlands nighttime cough syrup that's totally homeopathic. It's full of all this really cool crap. Well, my love, that is another successful episode of ParentCast. What do you think about it?
Oh, I wish I listened to this when I was a new mom. just to know that, like, it's really okay. You're not alone. All those mom bloggers that, like, look perfect right after giving birth.
It's all full of crap.
It is. They had their friends come put their makeup on. All right? It's not real life, guys. Real life is sweating, leaking, crying baby. And you're just so full of love, and you sit there and you look at this little baby sleeping, and it's fantastic, okay? It's questioning, it's crying, it's laughing, and taking a lot of pictures. So it's gonna be okay.
All those things are supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable, it's fun, it takes a lot of patience. The emotional roller coaster that you're probably going through is out of control. I mean, it's literally, you're going up and down. It's like Space Mountain times 50 or whatever the hell it is.
But you make it through.
But you're getting it through.
Mm-hmm.
And you got us. And we're here for you.
Yep.
So, darling, if they want to get in contact with us, how can our wonderful listeners do that?
You can head on over to parentcastpodcast.com and find us on all types of social media with the handle ParentCast. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're all over the place.
You can also email us, too, at parentcast@gmail.com. And also, if you want to call into our hotline, you can call anytime, 24/7. We're not going to answer. Go straight to voicemail. It is 503-454-6730. You can call and tell us about anything that you're going through. If you still have parental grievances, if you have concerns about being a new mom, all of those things, we want to hear them. We'll put them on the air. We want your feedback. It's the best part of our job here. Love it. So what do you think, kid? You want to close out the show?
Yeah, I think we did done good.
All right, let's do it. So get us that feedback as soon as you can. We'd love to hear from you. You'll get on the air, like we said, and we'll have fun with you.
Yeah.
You're our listeners. This is what we do the show for.
This is what we're here for, guys.
So,
if there's any questions, hit us up. That's what we're here for.
So next week, we actually have a very serious episode. It's all about making sure your relationship with your spouse is where it should be.
After you have a kid.
After you have the kid and how special you are.
Because you're peeing yourself and leaking all over the place and you don't get any sleep. It's really easy. It's really easy to have.
I'm going straight to the next song because we cannot find a way.
I have to talk like this. I have to be like the Micro Machines man. What are you hoping me to do?
We cannot find a way to get our clothes on by the end of the show.
Fine. You, fine. Do it.
All right. Guys, thank you. We love you. Get in contact with us.